So we're starting a Pentecost series, and wasn't that such a beautiful time in worship this morning? I mean, that was just what our hearts long for, isn't it? Like that, to touch the presence of God. And that's actually what I'm speaking about this morning, so it's great to just continue flowing into that. But we're going to do this three-part series. I'm going to speak about presence today, and then we've got Sam Barthes, who's going to speak next week about consecration. And then the third one, I'm going to speak about acceleration. And then that leads us up to Pentecost Sunday, which is the Sunday after that on the 19th of May. And part of all what we're doing in this is that we've joined in with 24/7 Prayer New Zealand. You might be familiar with Pete Gregg, who does the Lectio app. He started the 24/7 Prayer network all over the world. What we're going to do with this is around this New Zealand, we're joining in with churches, and there's even a few here in the city. We're going to be praying for 10 days from the Thursday, the 12th, right through to the 19th. And the biggest part of that is that we're going to do 24 hours of continuous prayer here at Korimaku. Come on. Whee! Yeah. Love the enthusiasm. And I think I was thinking about that. Probably seems quite daunting to people. We're going to have a sign-up sheet so you can sign up for like an hour or a couple of hours. You could even do the whole 24 hours if you want. But we're going to have it down here at church. And I probably think that sometimes people would see that and think, oh, heck, I've got to intercede for a whole hour. I can't even pray more than 2 minutes or something. I just want to put you at ease that this is about standing in the gap. So what this looks like is we're going to have a little prayer sort of room here in the church, and we're going to have prayer stations, and we're going to have things where you can write on and you can draw, and there's going to be music and stuff. So you can, what we're really asking you to do is come down and be as part of the church. Come down and support this and be together. It might be two or three of you. It might just be one person for an hour. It could be 20 of you. Who it is, and you'll be praying. You might pray in tongues. You might just sit in the presence of God. You might be praying out scriptures. You might be writing stuff out. There is a lot of variety here. And the big thing is just about getting us here, right? The big thing is about like just being here in this space and covering our church and covering our city in prayer, right? Because that's what we long for. We want to see God move. Like what we had this morning, like it's like a little touch of what God can do. Imagine that in our city and people experiencing that. This is what we're trying to do in our gatherings and our spaces is we want the presence of God. We want to go after the presence of God. And the big part of that is intentionality. And so that's why we're doing that. So after this service, I'll throw it back up on the Facebook. I'll put it on the newsletter again. Please click on the link and jump in there and like put your names down for times on that day. So it's starting 9 a.m. on the Saturday the 18th. Right through to 9 a.m. on that Sunday the 19th, and then we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday together. That's good. And youth, get involved with this. There's no age limit on this thing. Let's all do this as a whānau, guys. It's exciting. Why don't we just stand for the reading of the word? Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 33:12-17. Otherwise, maybe just close your eyes. Put your hands out and just receive the word of the Lord this morning. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send me with. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too, this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "Your presence will not go with me. Do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for your presence this morning, that we have experienced, that you're right here, God. And these words are true to us as they were back then. So, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come and do a transformative work in our hearts this morning. We open up the eyes of our heart to see you and know you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just want to take a seat. So a bit of context, if you're not familiar with the story, in this moment, the people of Israel have been, you know, led by Moses out of Egypt, out of slavery, something like 400 years that they've been living in slavery. There's been this huge anticipation, and they've been in the wilderness for a number of years, and it's been a bit of an up and down journey. And just prior to this moment, the Israelites had actually, as Moses had gone away to be with God, as he often did, they had got a bit distracted and a bit of a divided heart. And they'd gone to Aaron, Moses' brother, and said, "Oh, look, come on, we need something to worship." And so they'd given all their earrings, all the money that they had effectively, and they melted it all down and they made this golden calf and they worshipped it. And Moses had just come back and seen this, and you know, there's this huge kind of moment of rebuke and all this going on. And then there's this really interesting thing. God's talking to Moses, having this conversation with him, and he says to him, "Look, you're about to go into the promised land. This is the thing you've been waiting for, you've been anticipating. How many of us have things that we're waiting for, that we're anticipating, that we want God to do in our lives?" And he says, "Look, you're going to go into this place. I'm going to provide for you. I'll go ahead of you. I'll provide for you. But by the way, I'm not going with you." And it's this really strange bit. Like, what is God saying here? Like, what's going on here? Like, you're going into the land, you can do all these things, but hey, I'm not going with you. And I think what's going on here is that God is wanting to know where their heart's at. What do you want most? Pete Gregg has this interesting illustration where he talks about if you could not have Jesus, but have all your prayers answered in this lifetime, or you could have no prayers answered in this lifetime, but you would have Jesus, who would you choose? And he makes this joke that you know, a lot of us, the Sunday school answer is, "Oh, yes, you know, we'd always choose Jesus." But then he unpacks it a bit further and he sort of says, but think about it. Think about all those unanswered prayers that you have been longing for and wanting to see. Healings, financial breakthrough, you know, jobs, stuff with your kids, people to get saved. Like all these things that we all have and we're praying about. Imagine if tomorrow that all came true. All those things got answered in a moment. And he was kind of like, that kind of sense like, Would we really want Jesus if we could know that all those things could come to us? And that's what the heart of what's going on here is. God is wanting to know, do you really want me, or do you want what I can do for you? I'll say that again. Do you really want me in my presence? Is that enough for you, or do you just want me to do stuff for you? Because that's what broke God's heart, is that they worship after this idol. They distracted, they had divided hearts. And he's like, do you want me? God wants our presence. He wants to be wanted. I mean, the good thing is that, you know, if you get Jesus, you also get answered prayer as well. But it's an interesting thought exercise, isn't it? And Moses replies in verse 15, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. It's a beautiful scene because Moses is saying, look, God, if we're not going. We're not going into this land. We've been waiting for 400 and something years. We've been going through the world. All these things have happened to us, but we're not going into the promised land without you. We'd rather stay here in the wilderness without canvas tents and setting everything up and struggling out here, but we will not go into the promised land with all the goodness and all the wonderful things that are there without your presence. Isn't that awesome? And that is the heart of Moses. Like it says that he was someone who spoke to God face to face, like a friend. He had that presence of God. He knew how important the presence of God is. And when we talk about the presence of God and pursuing that presence, it's important to note that it's not like God is missing, right? Like God's not over at Cafe Boho or down the road in another church or at the beach or something. Like he is right here, right? That's what we believe. Like he is in the very air that we breathe. He is all around us. He is dwelling in his spirit in us if you believe in him and have accepted him. But there's a difference between the presence of God in the sense that there's a fancy word called omnipresence, which is just a fancy word that just means that God is in all places and in all times. He's everywhere. You cannot flee from his presence, as the psalmist says. You cannot get away from the presence of God. He created the world. He's in the universe. He's everywhere. But there's a difference between that and the manifest presence of God. A.W. Tozer puts it this way. The presence and the manifestation of the presence are not the same. There can be one without the other. God is here when we are wholly unaware of it. How true is that? He is manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. On our part, there must be a surrender to the Spirit of God, for his work is to show us the Father and the Son. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us, and the manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face. The key line from that quote is, he is manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. One of the keys to pursuing the presence of God is awareness. And I think this morning we had a great example of that, isn't it? You have that moment where you just pause, where everything from the week falls to the side, where you are caught up in the beauty and the glory of God, and nothing else matters. Have you had that experience in your life? I'm pretty sure if I sat down with most of you and just had a coffee with you and talked about that, like tell me about your experiences with God. I imagine some of you would say things like, when I became a Christian, I was at this event, I went to the front on an altar call, and I experienced the love of God. The incredible love of God. Some people describe it sometimes as this like liquid love. The psalmist says there is fullness of joy in his presence. When we become aware of God and his presence, it does transformative things to us. We're aware of our sin and our brokenness, not in a condemnation way, but in a sense that we know we need to be made whole. And in the holiness of God, we just want to bring that before the Father and just let him do that deep work in us. God is always here, but when you just become aware of his presence, his power and his love in a moment in time. And that's why I think it's important that we are always pursuing these moments. I know sometimes people criticize, oh, we don't want to be going for highs and all this stuff. And I totally agree with that in a sense that it's both and. We have to have, life is lived in the ordinary, extraordinary. But there is something about going after the presence of God, isn't there? And it's not just here on Sunday, it's every day of the week. There's something about pursuing his presence and going after him with all our hearts that does a transformative thing in us. But what I find for my own life and often as a pastor is that we often have the experiences and then it can feel like God has left the building again. And we get distracted by the busyness of life or caught in a moment with our pain or what we're walking through. And then we have that kind of feeling like, what was that all about? It just seems like a distant memory. Like Moses, we have to, Kori Mako, pursue the intimacy of God. We have to pursue him. It involves intentionality. You know the difference between David and Saul as kings? Right early on in Saul's life, he actually had quite a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit when he was first anointed as king. But he put that to the side, and he tried to do things in his own way without following God. And worst of all, the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place where that manifest presence was held sort of for the Israelites, that was taken into battle against the Philistines, and it was lost. And the Philistines take it off, and if you're familiar with the story, they take it back to their place, and then it causes all sorts of troubles with idols falling over and all sorts of people getting sickness and all sorts of things. And so they actually send it back to the Israelites. And it goes and sits at this place. But the kicker is that it doesn't go back to Jerusalem, where it was meant to be, at the center of the kingdom. Saul never brought the Ark of the Covenant back to where it was meant to be as a place of worship. Contrast that with David. One of the first things he does as king is go and get the Ark of the Covenant. He goes himself personally with the priests and everyone else, and they go and they find the Ark of the Covenant, and they bring it back, and they do sacrifices and celebrations all the way back to Jerusalem, and he leads them as the king. Because he wanted to put the presence, the manifest presence of God, right at the center of his kingdom. David got a lot of things wrong, but the one thing he got right was that he was a man after God's heart and God's presence. And Saul was content to lead as a king without the presence of God. And it's such a sobering reminder to us, even as the church, and I'm talking the whole church and us and everyone, is that sometimes we want the kingdom without the king, right? The kingdom without the king. We want the benefits of God, and we'll do all the programs, and we'll do all the stuff, but it's too complicated to have the king, and we're not pursuing that. And, you know, as a church, I want to be a church that the presence of God is the thing right at the center that we're going after, more than anything else, right? Because it's the presence that transforms us. It's the presence that brings us alive. That's what we want to go after. So what does this look like for us to pursue the presence of God as a church? Seeking him first. God comes where he's wanted. It starts with hunger for his presence. James writes, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. If you don't feel that hunger, that's okay. We go through sometimes dry periods in our lives. Sometimes you just need to ask the Holy Spirit to stir you up. Make me hungry. Lord, I feel bored. Lord, I feel distracted. Lord, I feel dry. Would you make me hungry for your presence? God loves those prayers, right? He loves those prayers when we say, Lord, fill me up. Open my eyes to see you, what you're doing. I want to encounter your presence. I'm not satisfied just going through the motions or having a nominal Christian life. I want more and more and more of you. And it helps. And the other key is prayer and worship. Individually, this looks like us intentionally spending time in the presence every day in our devotional life. Like Moses, you want to be a person who's not content to go without his presence. Imagine, you know, if we would take that posture that, Lord, I'm not content to go into this Monday without your presence. I'm not content to go into that difficult meeting without your presence. I'm not content to go into this situation or this conversation or whatever it is without your presence. Lord, I cannot do it without you. I need you. I need you. We need to put that well of his presence in our lives for our daily devotional time of prayer and worship. And then as a church whānau, we want to be a people who contend for God's manifest presence for the sake of others. Moses makes this point in his conversation with God that his presence is what makes them distinct to the rest of the world. How will anyone else know who we are unless we have you, God? And it's so true for us as the church. Otherwise, we're just a club or something. But if we have the presence of God, there is a distinctive of God in our midst and what we're doing here and how we're living out our lives every day of the week. The presence of God is with us, and that is the distinctive that will draw people to his love. And like I said earlier, some of the ways that we can intentionally do that is obviously gathering on Sundays as we pray and worship, coming to, you know, intentional nights where we might be praying or worshiping, or signing up for that 24 hours of. These are just steps and ways that we as a church show that we intentionally want to give God our first, seek Him first in this moment. Why don't we stand? And I'll just, I'm going to ask Tim and Tui to come up. I'm just going to finish on this reflection.